Our framework includes our explicit commitment that tax reform will protect low-income and middle-income households, not the wealthy and well-connected. They can call me all they want. It's not going to help. I'm doing the right thing, and it's not good for me, believe me.
I've learned over the last few years when he says, believe me, don't.
Those are some trigger words. They trigger sort of images in your head.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. Austin Goolsbee is with us. And, of course, Austin Goolsbee, you remember, you love him and remember him from his work in the Obama administration.
Yes, we do.
He was a chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors and a member of the president's cabinet. And, Austin, thank you very much for being with us. I always appreciate your time.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right. So the tax reform that the president is now in Indianapolis, he just finished a speech. He was talking about all of the things that it's going to bring. Now, they're talking about a 20% corporate tax rate. He said he started at 15 knowing he wasn't going to get it. He wanted to go to 20 because there wasn't enough revenue coming in at 15. But he thinks that there is at 20. Is there?
Just that, just going from 35 to 20 costs about $1.5 trillion. They haven't really outlined any amount of money, where they're going to get any money. So that seems like kind of a big one just alone. It doesn't feel like they're going to have enough money to do that, but they specified not much in the way of specifics of how they would pay for it. Right. Things in an old tradition, they just kind of outlined, I want to cut 20 things that if you add them up, they add up to $5 trillion, but I'm not going to increase the deficit.
Are they relying on more economic growth and then paycheck increases or take home pay would go up, so they assume people will spend some of that, triggering the economy? Is what are the details you've heard so far? Because I saw Paul Ryan tweeting
they
about
haven't,
those issues.
I assume they will definitely try to claim some of that. That's not really going to be big enough. I mean, we have an idea of, even if you were going to disregard past history, disregard what the Congressional Budget Office says, or, you know, what the official numbers are, you can't make it up. You know, we're a little bit like, if you say I'm going to spend $500 on dinner tonight, and they say, $500? How are you going to get $500 for dinner? And you say, well, I'm going to go all through the couch, and I'm going to find all the wasted money that I haven't paid attention to. You kind of know it's not going to add up to $500.
All right. So I know you're the economist, but you spent some time in the White House, and you know that not only you have to come up with the numbers, but you got to go sell them. Republicans, if a Democrat had come up with this, even though it is a fiscally, you know, it could be stimulative. I mean, it goes back to that whole notion of trickle-down economics and the Laffer curve and all that. But I think that because of the impact that this would have on the debt and the deficit, Republicans would certainly laugh Democrats out of the room if they said, well, we're going to get this all on growth. Because you'd have to have about 5% growth. Right now, we hit a mark for a quarter at 3%, which is pretty good, a little bit higher than was expected. But that's still, you know, that's a big ways away. And the economy, a lot of economists, a lot of investment types are thinking that the economy, you know, it's a little long in the tooth right now in terms of recovery. You might see a little bit of a dip here, you know, at least in the short term, at some point in the next 12 to 18 months. So, I mean, how does it, that's when this would be kicking in? How would the deficit not be affected?
I think it's fair kind of on both counts. You can get a sense of what the Republicans would say if Democrats did this, because there was a time in the Democratic primary that Bernie Sanders proposed a big expansion of the government, and he claimed that it would increase the growth rate in the United States to 5% along similar grounds to what the Republicans say for taxes. And they mocked him, and if you remember, President Trump, then candidate Trump, started calling him Crazy Bernie based on making those claims. So I think they probably would.
Well, can this pass, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
I don't think right now it could pass, because for sure the Republicans like tax cuts, and they'd be willing, I think, to increase the deficit some, but if you add up the things that the president said today, I think they'd increase the debt by some $4 or $5 trillion. And I think there are a number of Republicans who will not go along with it if it's that big.
They're calling it deficit neutral right now. Paul Ryan said that in his recent but you're the economist, so you're pushing back on that. I hear you.
They say deficit neutral, but this is the thing of they got a very big dinner bill, and there's not going to be enough pennies in the couch. That's just what it's going
to be. Austin, address the other issue here, because I think a lot of people are lost when it comes to, is this really a break for the middle class and people who are, you know, sort of struggling through our economy? They say it's going to be three brackets, 12%, 25%, and 35%, I believe, and that you'd get the $24,000 standard deduction per couple, $12,000 for individuals. They're saying that that's going to be a lot more money back into working people's pockets. Do you accept that?
Well, I mean, that part seems like it adds more in, but then they're simultaneously going to get rid of all of your exemptions that you get or you get for your kids. So I saw one analysis that said for a third of the people, the lowest one-third of people, the amount their taxes go down might be less than $20. So we'll have to see what the details are. Certainly the details that they outlined today are heavily, heavily 95, 99% geared toward very high-income people. And that increasing the standard deduction while taking away a bunch of other things ends up being close to a wash.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a couple interesting touch points here for controversy. One, the death tax. The president's out talking about, you know, he's trying to sell it as American Gothic. You know, the farmer, you know, we got to take away because you got to sell the family farm. So we got to take away the death tax. We got to take away that estate tax, essentially, which now I think is at, what, 2 million or something like that?
Multiple millions. I mean,
right.
You got to have multiple millions of dollars to even qualify.
Right. So you know, when you die, anything over that is taxed at income rates over whatever the $2 million number is. But you say, you know, the poor farmers, and they got to sell the farm, and they won't take as well good care of the farm. The new people who come in and take the farm. He gave a whole, like, visualization story today about that. And he goes, and this doesn't benefit me. Really? Really? I mean, even if he says he's worth $10 billion. Let's just go with what Forbes says he is, about $2.5 billion. That would say that would benefit. It doesn't benefit him personally because he'd be dead. But you know, for the family, it benefits him. It doesn't benefit any of us who are going to leave money, right? Because we're going to be dead.
Once you're dead, I'm sure that's right. You don't get a tax cut.
But the point is, isn't it?
The analysis that we'd seen suggested that for him and his family, this might save them something on the order of $1 billion of taxes. So I don't know how he came to the conclusion that he would not benefit when it seems like almost all of the things that he's doing would have a huge benefit for people who have as much money as he claims to have. Maybe he doesn't have what he has said in the past, and that's why he wouldn't benefit.
Yeah. All right. Austin, thank you very much. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Austin. Thank you.
Yeah, nice talking to you guys.
Austin Goolsbee.